Canto 3, Chapter 17. Victory of Hiranyaksha over all the directions of the universe. Maitreya said, "When the denizens of heaven heard the explanation of Brahma about the cause of the darkness, they were freed from their fear, and thereupon all returned to their heavenly places." Virtuous Diti, apprehensive about the lifelong trouble her husband spoke about in relation to her children, gave birth to twin sons. When they were born, many most frightening, inauspicious signs could be observed in heaven, on earth, and in the sky. The mountains and the earth shook with earthquakes, and there seemed to be fire coming from all directions with meteors falling, thunderbolts, comets, and inauspicious constellations. Sharp winds blew that constantly howled, and armies of cyclones with dust clouds for their ensigns uprooted the greatest trees. Amassing clouds obscured the luminaries with lightning loudly in the sky. Everything was enveloped in darkness, and nothing could be seen. Stricken with sorrow, the ocean full of agitated creatures whirled with high waves, the drinking places and rivers were disturbed, and the lotuses withered. All the time misty halos appeared around the sun and moon who had eclipses, claps of thunder were heard, and rattling sounds of chariots resounded from the mountain caves. Inside the villages, fearful she-jackals vomited fire from their mouths, and there were cries of owls and an ominous howling of jackals. The dogs raised their heads, uttering various cries, sometimes as if they sang, and then again, like they were wailing. The asses, O Vidura, loudly braying, ran madly hither and thither in groups, striking the earth hard with their hooves. Frightened by the asses, the birds flew shrieking from their nests, and the cattle passed dung and urine in the cowsheds and the woods. The cows, in their fear, yielded blood instead of milk, and clouds rained pus. The idols shed tears, and trees fell down without a blast of wind. The most auspicious planets and the other luminaries stood in conjunction, had retrograde courses, or took conflicting positions. Seeing more of these great portents and not knowing their underlying truth, all people, except for the sons of Brahma, were afraid and thought that the world would end. The two godforsaken, earliest daityas in history, grew up quickly, manifesting uncommon bodies that were as hard as steel and of the size of mountains. With their brilliant bracelets around their arms and the beauty of the decorated belts around their waists that outshone the sun, the earth shook at every step of their feet, to which the crests of their crowns touched the sky as they blocked the view in all directions. Prajapati Kashyapa gave the two their names. The one of the twin who was first begotten from his flesh and blood he called Hiranyakashipu, and the one who appeared first from Diti in the world he called Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu, who because of a blessing of Lord Brahma was puffed up without any fear that he would be killed by anyone, managed to seize control of the three worlds and their protectors. Hiranyaksha, his beloved younger brother, always willing to do him a favor, with a club in his hands ready to fight, was traversing the higher spheres in search of violent opposition. He had a temper difficult to control, tinkling anklets of gold, and the adornment of a very large garland over his shoulders upon which rested his huge mace. Proud as he was of the physical and mental strength conferred by the boon, he feared no one because no one could check him, and therefore the godly souls afraid of him hid themselves like being snakes frightened of Garuda. Upon discovering that Indra and the demigods facing his might had vanished and could not be found, the chief of the Daityas got excited and roared loudly. Giving up his search, the mighty being, Rethel, like an elephant desiring to sport, dove deep into the ocean while producing a terrible sound. As he entered the ocean, the aquatics, the defenders of Varuna, were beset with fear that he would get hold of them, and fled, daunted by his splendor, hurried away as far as they could. For many years, he roamed the ocean with great force, time and again striking the mighty, wind-tossed waves with his mace. Thus he reached Vibhavari, O Vidura, the capital of Varuna. There, having reached the region of the creatures of force, the demons, he, to make fun, with a smile like someone low-born, bowed before Varuna, the lord and guardian of the aquatics, and said, "O great lord, give me battle. You are the guardian of this place, a renowned ruler. By your power, which reduced the pride of the conceited heroes and with which you conquered all Daityas and Danavas in the world, you once managed to perform a great royal sacrifice, O master." Thus profoundly being ridiculed by an enemy whose vanity knew no bounds, the respectable lord of the waters got angry, but, controlling himself with reason, he replied, "O my best one, we have left the path of warfare. I can think of no one else but the most ancient person, Lord Vishnu, who in battle with you would be sufficiently skilled in the tactics of war to your satisfaction, O king of the world. Approach him, who is even praised by heroes like you. Reaching him, O great hero, you will quickly be freed from your pride and lie down on the battlefield amid the dogs. It is for exterminating the evil that you are, and to show the virtuous souls his grace, that he wishes to assume his forms."